Hey everyone, welcome to episode 35 of Student Radio Stories. This episode includes an interview with Matt Curtis. Matt is a graduate of Student Radio and has been a freelance presenter for Capital, and more recently has been a freelance presenter for the Hits Radio Network. Matt was also the 2016 winner of Demo Factor at the Student Radio Association Conference. Get into the interview and hear more from Matt about his radio experiences.
Okay, a bit of a mad one. So I started radio I did student radio ever since I went to uni. Did that for 3 years. And when I left, before I even left uni, actually, I got a gig at Capital, which was mental. Because that was like kind of, where, if anyone had asked me at the time, like, where do you want to be? That was it. I presented my first show there before I even graduated, which was insane. And yeah, from there, I kind of started at East Midlands. I was interning already, demoing, then got given the chance to present. They booked me for like video work, cover producing, breakfast. And then from there, I kind of went all over the Capital network, really, covering weekends and drive. That came to an end in April 2019 because of industry changes. I then started presenting at Signal One in Stoke-on-Trent, and I did loads of stuff on their local schedule as well as across the network. Total Access, the network evening show, I did that, and then I kind of went a bit all over there, really. Went to Blackpool randomly, which was lovely. I love Blackpool. Don't say anything bad about Blackpool. And then I got a gig at Peak FM in September 2019, and that was my first kind of full-time gig, and I did that up until the 10th of July, just gone, and that's basically where we're at.
So I understand you do lots of freelancing now, so what roles do you have, and what are your current freelance opportunities you're involved with?
I mean, so as currently in terms of the roles, I am a radio presenter, a videographer, and a photographer. They're kind of, it's always been my main aim as a freelancer. I'm a bit weird. It's my main aim to have as many things going on as physically possible. I like having lots of things to dip into. So I have the radio stuff. I do videography on the side. Do a lot for a company called Onside Productions, which is a video sporting company. So they film a lot of American football games. So I do that on the side. Photography of my own accord, really. And yeah, that's basically it. I mean, I've just finished my daily mid-morning show at Peak, so that's kind of, I'm in a bit of limbo at the minute in terms of actual roles.
So what previous freelancing work have you had?
So I worked at Capital, obviously, since leaving uni. Did that for 3 years, driving weekends, video stuff for them as well. So like all the social media stuff at Capital East Midlands, that was me. Lots of SPI kind of production stuff. So if they had a client that wanted, I remember the first big promotion we had was like a Fiat 500. They'd just released like this new Fiat 500 at a local car dealership in East Midlands. So we, like me, Tom and Claire, went out in a little Fiat 500 and did a bit of drive-in, filmed that, which was really, really fun. Breakfast producer cover, and then cover presented for loads of stations as part of the Wireless Group network. So Signal One, Total Access, Radio Wave, Peak FM, that kind of thing.
That's really lucky to have got straight into Capital, like after
university. Oh, literally mental. I'd always wanted to, because Capital was like my local station. I live in Nottingham. I'd always listened to Trent FM when it was Trent FM back in the day. And then obviously it got taken over to Capital. Religiously listened to it. And as I say, whenever anyone asked me like where I wanted to be doing radio, it was like, I want to be at Capital. And I always wanted to be interning and kind of doing stuff there. So I think, I can't remember if it was, must have been start of my final year at uni, I had a meeting with the deputy content controller at Capital East Midlands, and they got me in for a sit-in with Tom and Claire. Then I started interning with them, demoing on a weekly basis. And yeah, it kind of took off from there, really. It took off after Demo Factor, which I, you know, we'll come on to later, but they kind of already knew of me. They'd listened to my demos on a weekly basis. And then all of a sudden, I always remember going in, because I used to demo on a Wednesday, and the deputy content controller was like, are you free on a week on Saturday to demo? And I was like, that's a bit weird. Like, I usually demo on a Wednesday, but sure. Okay. And he said, yeah, Ryan, the regular presenter, was like, yeah, Ryan's off. So I need you to cover. I was like, oh, hang on then. So not demoing, you want me to do a live weekend show for the first time? Okay, I'll do that. And that was before, that was a week before I even graduated uni. So I was kind of living on a bit of a cloud for that kind of period. And yeah, then I kind of just went straight into there. And as I say, branched out to loads of stations on the network, covered in Northwestern, North Wales, Manchester, Liverpool, Yorkshire, South Coast, which is a hell of a drive, but it's a lovely place. And yeah, that's basically where I was at leaving uni, which was absolutely mental.
So what have been some of your highlights from your freelancing work?
Oh, definitely presenting non-capital. I mean, I can't beat around the bush on that one. Like, as I say, like home station before I graduated, it was just, I just kept pinching myself the entire time. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it was mental. And I'm still not really over it to this day, to be honest. Like, I'll still listen to demos that I made during that time and think, that's me, like, on Capital. That's bizarre. So definitely that, 100% getting my own show at Peak FM as well, because like, that was a dream come true. I love local radio. And I've ever since I started, I was like, right, own show. And yeah, got that in September of last year, just gone. And improving the radio figures in one quarter made that slightly better as well. It was like icing on the cake, really. Weirdly as well, like presenting overnights, I know that sounds really mental and probably no one's ever said that in the history of radio, but presenting overnights on the Wireless Group Network, because I'd never done that shift before. And it was one of those shows that I was booked for and I just loved it. Like I get to like 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. for like a fair old while. Every now and then, like, oh, so-and-so is off, can you cover that shift? And that was like 7 o'clock at night to cover at 1 a.m. And I'm like, yep, I'm there. And it was just, there's something weird about it. There's something weirdly enjoyable because you know everyone, most people are asleep. So it's kind of a little bit like, no one's actually listening to me, but it's a weird one at the same time. So I really enjoyed that. Other Capital stuff that is really, really like bucket list kind of stuff, like working the summertime and Jingle Bell Balls, like that was so special. And getting professional video work was fantastic for them because I've been doing it simply for like the joy of making video stuff. And then it's like, oh, you're actually going to pay me for this. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I think the overall thing though, just really just getting to be creative for a job. Like that's the highlight. Like literally, if anyone asks me what I do, like I talk rubbish for 3 hours or 4 hours at a time or whatever it is, like coming up with silly ideas, doing those silly ideas, and just like going through life and someone will say something quite funny, you go, right, I'll write that down for the show, because it's like that's content. And that's just the dream, just being creative for a job. Nothing tops that at all in my book, but no.
So what was your involvement with the summertime and Jingle Bell Balls? Because that's a pretty big deal in Capital.
Literally, yeah. So I was, summertime ball, I was a tech op and event crew. So like for the broadcasts that come from Leicester Square for the summertime ball, I was at Wembley kind of driving the desk, playing out the music, working with the producer to kind of like deliver those shows. And it was event crew, so it's kind of like roaming, seeing everyone, like anything needed doing kind of thing, you know, standard. And then Jingle Bell Ball, I was in Leicester Square for that tech hopping again, just making sure that everything like music wise went out okay, and kind of looking after the radio side of things while they took care of the event. But mental, so and they're so massive as well. Like you know you see it on TV, you go, yeah they're big, but like they are huge. So good.
So what made you want to get involved with your university student radio station?
I just like the sound of it, really. Like, I'd always loved radio. I'd always listened to my home station, Trent FM, religiously as a kid. I remember having that on consistently in the car. And I think, because I did a broadcast journalism degree, so I was kind of in that space anyway, I think I just thought, I'll have a go. And that seems really lame, I realised. But I went to the welcome meeting. I think I fell asleep in the welcome meeting, if I remember rightly. That's really bad, isn't it? But did a voice test, presented my first show, and I really remember that first show. I was with two of my good friends now, but obviously just met them for the first time during that first show, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it because I was so focused on making sure everything went right. And obviously it was my first time, this sounds really simple, but my first time talking and driving a desk at the same time, which is second nature now. But back then it was like, well, I've got to talk and push these buttons as well. So it was really, disjointed. It was really like overly prepped. I would say the word is clunky. I hated it. Absolute disaster. I remember ringing my mum at the time. I got out of the show. I was like, okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll see you next time. Got out, rang my mum. I was like, I'll give it one more show, but I hated that. If I don't enjoy it next time, I won't do it again. Luckily, I enjoyed it though.
So what have been some of your highlights from your time in student radio?
Oh God, that's going back. Oh, 100% when I accidentally spilled a cup of tea on the mixing desk just before varsity. That was a lovely week of my life. I don't think anyone's ever wanted to kill me more, to be honest. The freedom, I think, because obviously in student radio, you do everything yourself. Like you are, you present, you're your own producer. I produced, I like created all my own imaging, station sound stuff as well, like my beds. And I just love that because you don't get to do that in the industry. It's like you're the presenter, you do the talky bits. But in student radio, you can do however much or however little as you like. It's kind of your option. But in terms of like actual things, definitely being given the opportunity to present Friday breakfast. So like my best friend at uni was part of Fly FM as well. And we kind of, after that disaster of a first show, we kind of decided to become a bit of a duo. And we did the odd show in the afternoon together and stuff. But then we kind of got Friday breakfast, which was the big show. And getting to do that with her was just amazing. We actually won best morning show for that as well, which was amazing. I was chosen to present Fly FM's SRA chart show in 2015, which was unreal. I remember going into, like, I worked at Wilco at the time, and I was like, I need this Sunday off. I don't care what I've got to do. I need it off because this is amazing. And that won silver at the SRA Awards, which was even better. Like, I didn't expect to win anything for that. Presenting OBs is definitely a highlight because they are, you do them in the industry, but not as much. So like student radio, we were doing OBs very regularly, very, very regularly all over NTU campus, which was just amazing. It's quite exciting to present a show from like a different location, especially when there's cows, which is a feature of the Brackenhurst campus at Trent. But yeah, I mean, I won a few awards, which was amazing. I mean, I know it's not all about that, but I think it was 2015 as well. I was just sat having the food at the SRAs and they announced that I'd won the bronze Kevin Green in for the Creativity Award, which was mad. Demo Factor in 2016. Gold Station Branding as well at the SRAs in 2016, which was kind of my side project. I kind of dipped my toe into station sound during my time, but then third year came around and I was like, right, I'm going to do this as well as everything else properly. And so all the station imaging was made by me and another a friend at Fly FM, and Gold Station Branding for that, which was amazing. I'm never going to get over that kind of stage presence feeling where you get announced that you've won the award, you go, right, I'm going to tick all this off in my mind, and then you get up on the stage and it's weird because as a radio presenter you'd think, oh, he's fine in front of a microphone. The difference is I'm fine in front of a microphone in a box where it's just me. You get up on a stage in front of everyone at the SRAs and you're like, thank you. I don't know what else to say. But yeah, definitely those highlights. I'm struggling to think of any. There was so much that went on. When you sent me these questions, I was like looking through my photos going, something's got to jog from my memory. Something hasn't. And there's just so much. We'd be here all day.
So what have been some of your roles and your involvement with your student radio station?
So I was a presenter, producer, a newsreader, a station sound producer, and then in my final year, head of programming and creativity. So kind of content controller, if you like, if that's not too self-important to say.
Yeah, that must have definitely kept you quite busy while you're at uni.
Oh, yes. Yes, literally. I mean, news reading was kind of a thing that crept in towards the end of second year, so I wasn't always doing that, but the presenting was always a thing. Station sound was always a thing. Head of programming, like that took up most of my time in third year. But I always said, like, so I went to uni to do my broadcast journalism degree, but the reason that I was at uni was student radio. Like, that just took over everything. It was kind of like the course was second compared to everything else, because, I don't know, like, student radio was just so magical and so good. And you just and to be honest, as good as the degree was and is, it's still one of the best in the country. I don't have a bad word to say about that course. But I've got my radio opportunities since leaving uni from student radio and not my course, which is weird. It's kind of backwards when you think about it. You'd expect a degree to get you further than, oh, we did some student radio, but it's mental, and student radio has kind of got me where I am.
Yeah, I feel like it's a society that sometimes is quite big and sometimes might be quite small at some universities, but it does get you that recognition when you're going out there in the industry.
Yeah, and all the SRA events are unreal, amazing, like so good as well, because you never get a more perfect opportunity to speak to so many people from so many stations at one time. They're just all there, and you just talk to them. You need to talk to them, and the opportunities that those events give you are just second to none.
So you kind of touched on your student radio station, and you've done some bits with the SRA. So what has been you and your station's involvement with the Student Radio Association?
I mean, Fly FM's always been really heavily involved with the SRA. We've had plenty of alumni go on to have roles within it. I always see on the SRA like socials that there's another person from Fly FM that's gone on to be part of the exec, and I'm just like, okay. We've always like attended the SRA events, like, you know, SRA Awards conference, presented the SRA chart show. I'm part of the alumni group. They've always been brilliant. And yeah, I have not a bad word to say about the SRA. They are so good.
So I understand you were the 2016 winner of Demo Factor. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Still riding that wave.
How did it feel to win Demo Factor, and has the accomplishment helped you with your work in the radio industry?
Yes, and completely and utterly bizarre. Like, I remember I submitted a demo. So I won in 2016. I submitted a demo in 2015 and got shredded. Like, I didn't get played out at the time, but I got feedback after the fact. My demo from 2015 was destroyed. Like, so it was kind of a weird feeling going into 2016, because I was like, well, I got absolutely roasted last time, but I'll give it another go kind of thing. Didn't expect anything to come of it at all, which I know everyone says, but like, that was just how I was like, I'll just submit it. If I get feedback, I get feedback. I was expecting more email feedback, to be honest. And we were all just sat having some wine, chilling out. And then my name got called out, and I was just like, is this real life? Because no, this is a nightmare. And obviously you have to get up, you have to go stand at the front, you have to be in front of absolutely everyone. I was absolutely mortified. And you just stand at the front, in front of absolutely, so everyone else from student radio, all the industry people, and your demo is blasted out at the full volume of the loudspeaker, and it's like the worst air check ever. Like, if you ever had an air check, you sit in like with your boss and obviously listen back to the show. There's just something that there's so many more people listening to it, and it's ridiculously loud, and you're just like, oh, and you start shredding your own links. Like, I was quite proud of that demo, but I remember at the time standing up there going, this is rubbish, they're not gonna like this. Oh, but they're still listening. Why are they still going on with this? This is weird. And then all of a sudden, like, I got some good feedback at the time, and then they announced that I'd won it, and yeah, that night was a little bit of a blur. And I started getting, like, you know, approached by loads of different people, interviewed, which was bizarre, and yeah, it kind of all just spiraled from there. That got me a one-off show on Absolute Radio 90s, which was amazing to do, like, go down to London Golden Square and present a show on national radio, like the first proper bit of live radio I'd done on a national station, which was amazing. I was already interning at Capital, so they knew who I was and like kind of my demo stuff. But I guess it kind of solidified that and kind of got my name out there a little bit more. So yeah, definitely helped. But I'm still not over that embarrassment at all.
So as a winner of Demo Factor, do you have any advice for people in student radio for what you think makes a good demo?
Oh, I don't think I have the knowledge to be honest. I mean, I didn't think my demo was that good, to be honest. Like, I remember being quite proud of it myself, but in terms of like a demo like stacking up against other people, I didn't think it was going to get even played out. Let's think. I mean, definitely varied. You've got to have a load of different stuff in there. I would probably go with something original and ear-catching at the start, like very first link, make sure it's something that no one else has done, like no copy-paste kind of stuff. But yeah, something original, something ear-catching that they haven't heard before. It's important to have fun links, you know, entertaining links. The shorter they are, the better, because, you know, people's attention spans are quite short in terms of radio, and it means you can fit more in, which is always a bonus. Just make sure it's entertaining, like not necessarily funny, because there's nothing worse than, I mean, I didn't think I'm funny. There's nothing worse than someone who's not funny trying to be funny. But if you've got that music passion that you can sell, that's entertainment. You've got your observational stuff. You don't need to have like a stand-up comedy punchline. It helps, but you don't need that. Just an entertaining, varied demo, I think, is the only thing you need to be going on with.
So finally, what advice do you have for people that are currently in student radio and are looking to work in the radio industry?
Be determined. There's quite a lot of change going on. And then with all this coronavirus rubbish on top, it's tougher than it's ever been in my personal experience. I mean, obviously, I've only been doing it professionally since 2016, but it's tougher than ever now. But that doesn't mean that it's not possible. You just need to be persistent. Be multi-skilled, that helps. I mean, obviously, you know, when I started at Capital, I was demoing for presenting stuff, but then I was interning with the Drive Time show, Tom and Claire, and kind of producing to an extent, which then kind of made them go, oh, okay, so we can book him for breakfast show producing cover. So I started doing that. And then, oh, we can do video. Oh, so we'll book him for the video stuff. So if you're multi-skilled, it definitely helps. Be positive. It's very easy to be negative, but be positive. And really, I think make yourself indispensable. Because if you're indispensable to whoever or whatever radio station you're working for, they really value you and they value your skills. And if you can provide that consistently, they ain't letting you go.
Well, thank you, Matt. It's been great to hear your student radio journey, the bits you've done, your route into radio, and the advice you've been given.
I hope it's all right. I mean, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt, for sharing your radio journey with me. It's been great to hear from you, and good luck in your future freelance opportunities. Stay tuned for more student radio stories to come. Bye, everyone!